In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're at that time again. Thanksgiving is over. You're coming out of your tryptophan hangover, and your family has maybe gone back to school or wherever they go, and now you're moving into the season of December, which so now, as is always the case on the first Sunday of Advent, I get to be the first one to say to you, Happy New Year, because this is the beginning of the church year. It's when we celebrated last week, Christ the King Sunday, when we thought about Christ and all of His majesty seated at the right hand of the Father, the kingship of Jesus. And today, we start the whole story all over again. Today, we start listening to the prophets and the writers as they talk about the coming of the kingdom of God. And so we begin once again to think about the coming of Jesus. And to ask two questions. What is the nature of the kingship of Jesus? And what is the nature of our waiting? Because Advent, as you know, is a season of waiting and of expectation. We work very hard as Episcopalians and liturgical Christians to try and delineate the season of Advent from the season of Christmas, and I will be the first to say it's a losing battle. We have lost it completely. Step outside, it's Christmas. Get in your car, it's Christmas. You know, and so we respond, don't we, as Episcopalians? We say, well, we don't really celebrate Christmas yet. It's Advent, and we don't sing Christmas hymns, and don't put your lights up just yet. Don't rush the season. And we can get kind of snarky and self-important about it. You know, when you correct someone for saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays and say, you know, it's not really Christmas yet. You're just annoying. That's all there is to it. But we do. We want you to have this season because we think we're waiting for something important, and we think that the act of waiting and thinking about the nature of this waiting is a critical part of Christmas, to understand what the incarnation actually is really about. And so we do some things. We had the Advent fair during the Christian Formation Hour, gave you some tools for you as individuals or families to use to sort of help mark the season. We've got the four candles that mark the four Sundays. We've got some chains that you could take and have scripture verses on them, help you count down. You can buy the little calendars with the doors, and to entice you to wait, we might even put a little chocolate behind there, just so you will hold on. All of those things are tools. In fact, we can get so self-important and so excited about Advent that we actually get wrapped around the tools, can't we? Get wrapped around the tools, and all we really know is that by Christmas time, we were obedient. We were disciplined, and we did what we were supposed to do. And if we do that, then we've absolutely missed the whole point of the season of Advent. Sometimes the tools can get in the way. So what's the adult version of Advent? What's the grown-up version? What is it we are actually waiting for? On the one hand, we're waiting for the birth of the baby Jesus. Yes. But why? Well, the season of Advent, we're moving into the longest and darkest days of the year. And it brings our minds and our hearts to focus on the longest and darkest parts of our lives. It's an invitation by the church for you not to rush to the light, but instead to take the darkness seriously, to take those dark places in your life that desperately need the light of Christ and think about them, to contemplate them. But it's not just a personal thing either. The lessons that we heard read are not about your personal redemption. They are about the redemption of the world. There, it is that time of the year when we say we have made a mess of it. It's busted. It's completely busted. It's the time of the year when we cry, Lord, come, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. It's that time of the year when we have to say out loud, when we just have to cry out loud, that St. Teresa of Avila was actually wrong. She has to be wrong. Everybody quotes what she said, that God has no hands but our hands. And if that is true, The jig is up. Advent's when we acknowledge that when human beings are left to our own devices and all we have are our hands to do the work, we will mess it up, we will break it, and what it looks like we like to do the most is kill each other. That's why the prophet Isaiah can cry out this vision of a sea of time when the Lord is going to break into this broken thing himself, and he is going to judge between nations. He shall arbitrate for many, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. This is what's been on my mind this week. It's how good we are at killing each other. That's what I'm thinking about in Advent. That's why I want to cry, come, Lord Jesus. So I did a little research. I wanted to know. I know this is a morbid and horrible thing to want to know, but I wanted to know how many people have died in the history of the world because of war. I never got past World War II. 60 million people around the world died as a result of World War II. 60 million people. Combatants, civilians, people who died of famine and hunger and starvation because of war. If God has no hands but ours, game is over. Come, Lord Jesus. That's what's behind Isaiah's cry when they're swords will be beaten into plowshares. That's the vision that I think Advent is inviting us to. When we can envision it differently than it is and beg God to fix it. You know, in Advent we sing Advent hymns. And we got that first one out of the way right away this morning. They're not the most fun hymns to sing. Even though they're really well played. Well, he's out there. Because you got to listen to the lyrics. The lyrics are heavy. These are hard. This is a season that's kind of the great divide between clergy and lay people. Clergy love Advent. We love it. Lay people are like, yeah, okay, that's kind of dark, don't you think? Could we move on? But they draw our attention to this thing, to this, come, Lord Jesus, please, please, please fix this. I think there's another song that should be added to our hymnal. Maybe it should go into the corpus of Advent hymns. I didn't even know about it till this week. I was talking to Josephine about this sermon. She asked me if I'd ever heard it. Ed McMurdy, songwriter who wrote the song, O Susanna. Everybody knows that? Apparently he also ran to deeper thoughts as well. And it was 1950 when the world was still recovering and reeling on its heels from World War II. When the whole world was exhausted because of war. Lots of people have covered it. The only one I can even get close to is Johnny Cash's version of it. So, last night I had the strangest dream I'd ever dreamed before. I dreamed the world it all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty room. The room was filled with men, and the paper they were signing said they'd never fight. And when the papers all were signed and a million copies made, they all joined hands and bowed their heads, and grateful prayers were prayed. And the people in the streets below were dancing round and round, and gone. swords and uniforms were scattered on the ground. Last night I had the strangest dream I'd ever dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end. In Advent, we cry, "Come, Lord Jesus." And in Christmas, we will celebrate that he has arrived. And he will be a sweet little baby, and we will wrap him in blue, and there will be candles all around, and the children will have gathered, and it will be lovely and beautiful. But make no mistake, this is the way God breaks into this broken system to fix it. God becoming incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ to transform the world, to transform your heart and mine, to where we will study war no more. Come, Lord Jesus.